What the fuck is up? 2 weeks in a row? We are.
What's up, you fuck sticks? Nice seeing you.
I was telling you, Carm, I was just upstairs working out, watching a show about the Italian mob in Montreal. It was quite fascinating.
I had no idea that there was an Italian mob in Montreal.
Oh, they were some.
Absolutely. They speak French? What's going on?
Haven't you seen the movie? What movie was it with Robbie De Niro? Where he's a jazz club owner up there.
The yeah. Score.
And he was stealing it. Robert De Niro's Italian.
Yeah, but that's not. What does that mean? That's not. He's a thief. He's not in the mob.
He was a thief, but it was coordinated between 3-4 different parties.
I never knew mob in Montreal.
I think up there in Canada, they kind of, you know, they were running the cocaine portion of their illicit businesses. That they were the group that kind of got that started.
The first to cross.
This is total news to me. I'll have to check it out.
Referred to as the Canadian pipeline.
By the way, I've heard Montreal is actually a very wonderful city. Yeah, I've never been, but I've heard it's gorgeous.
For bachelor clubs. Yeah. For bachelor parties, I should say, and strip clubs.
But I think all of it. I think it's like a very cosmopolitan. Yeah, Sylvie's thinking of strip joints. I mean, Jesus,
what an animal!
That's cosmopolitan. Really.
What are you going to the museums, Yerk? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm looking at the art, man.
Yeah.
They find beautiful. They find beautiful scepters and such.
You know, beautiful scepters.
They call it the Canadian Ballet.
That's what they call it. But I've heard it's really fabulous. I would like to see Montreal. It's on the list. It's on the list of places to go.
Did you get sick when you were in Toronto?
Yeah, in Toronto I did. Yeah.
Well, stay out of Canada, buddy.
That's the only time I've ever been to Canada.
I hear the West Coast in Vancouver is basically like Los Angeles, you know, north.
Yes,
it's fabulous.
I can take a ferry from Seattle to Vancouver.
Yeah. Oh, it's lovely this time of year.
Buenos Aires is the Paris of the South. I've been there. And then Montreal is like the Paris of North America. I haven't been there. I need to go there.
You need to go, Carm. Check out a Black.
You should go to Buenos Aires too. That's
I've got relatives in Mississauga and Oakville, Ontario, which is right just south. It's a suburb of Toronto. Both teams have like Ontario Hockey League teams there.
Oh yeah.
OHL. Both cities, municipalities.
It's a big deal.
Have hockey teams there, but
those Canadians in hockey, man, they don't fuck around.
They don't.
I still talk to some of my relatives up there. It's a good time.
I heard you throwing roses in the direction of Justin Bieber and his athletic ability this week.
I mean, the kid can skate. I said, if I needed to pick a celebrity for like a month, you know, like we're doing a team event. I mean, like I'm picking Bieber to play hockey. He can fucking play. Kid's a pretty good little athlete.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds.
Not a kid anymore. I mean, he's grown up now.
Ryan Reynolds only if they sew his mouth shut like they did in that one movie. So I wouldn't have to hear him.
What does he play? What is Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds is one of the first X-Men films.
No, but what is he good at?
I don't know. He said Ryan Reynolds. I said I'd take Ryan Reynolds.
Canadian too? I said Ryan Reynolds. Are you not listening?
Oh, Ryan Reynolds is Canadian. That's all
I thought he was.
Oh, but we're talking about. Listen, if you're talking about athletes that you're looking to recruit, and then in the next breath he says Ryan Reynolds, I say I'll take Ryan Reynolds on my team as long as he shuts his mouth.
Okay.
Canadian American.
Don't tell me what the connection is. I'm trying to draw you a map here.
I'm asking Waddle why he thinks Ryan Reynolds is a good athlete.
Because he's Canadian.
Tommy, looks like you.
Look at Tommy's hair.
Tommy, you look like you combed your hair with an M80 this morning. Jeez.
It looks like you used a rake.
Light the fuse and fire.
Yeah.
It looks glorious.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's getting after the workout.
How bad did you tie one on last night?
I did not tie it. Went on
are
bad.
You sure?
One Scott. Sure? I was watching TV.
Okay.
What kind of workout are you getting after?
Well, I walked for 2 miles, and then I did some arm curls. I did some lat pulls. I did some sit-ups, and I'm about to go upstairs, and I don't know, do a little bit something else. I don't know.
Play Spank Frankie. That's what you're going to do. Listen,
that's not a workout.
Tommy, first of all, Tommy's 57 now, coming on 57.
I'll be 57 in a couple of weeks.
Right. So Tommy's coming up on 57. Listen, fellas, the cushion is gone. The cartilage is hasta la bye-bye. There's no pounding anymore.
Can't run.
There's no pounding.
Well, there's one kind of pounding.
There's a static, like, you know, working the pool is great. Maybe a little trampoline work where you got a little bouncy stuff, but running on pavement.
I'm fucked. My knee, I know it. I got about 10 more years of running probably, and that's it. My knee's already fucked.
When you're 56, soon to be 57, guess what you're going to be doing?
I'm fucked.
I went on a 2-mile walk, and then some young kid's going to go, walk? What the hell's wrong with you?
You're probably right.
Yeah. And guess what? My back hurts when I'm done with it, too.
Yeah.
Oof. So I have to stretch.
Too fucking old.
Got to do core exercises, Tom.
Yeah, Johnny, I'm finishing up the core exercises after this.
I like the bicycles when you're on the back. Extend the legs, you know, like this.
My daughter's got a one of those, what are they fucking called?
Peloton?
Pelotons.
Yeah. Youth.
I've heard that.
You have to have special shoes to ride it, I think. So
you need clip-ins. You just need, like, if you had a regular road bike, you need clip-in shoes.
I have a regular road bike.
Yeah.
Clip-ins.
Irregular road bike.
Like if you were in the Tour de France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not too old to pound the old Brejal, though, are you, Tommy?
Yeah, you bet your fucking ass.
Take two zinc for the stomach, All right. Well,
listen, that's what the walk's for. You gotta make sure that the stamina's there, man.
Fucking A right. Couple of zinc. That's why you take zinc in the morning.
I take the old multivitamin.
For the old high hard one.
Every time you put a master blaster out there, you lose your zinc. Just so you know.
That's why you need to reload.
Yeah, you got
to
reload with zinc and magnesium.
Wait a second. Zinc, the primary ingredient in your jizz?
Look at Waddle.
Yeah, well, you lose all your zinc when you blast.
When you blast. I'm getting my 35% of my daily zinc allotment with this supplement. Dude,
you need a zinc. You need your own zinc pill.
That's right. Trust you don't get any zinc in scotch.
Like a blue chew and a zinc.
Imagine
you're good to go.
If you can make scotch with vitamins in it, you know?
I bet you can.
Where you just blast some riboflavin, some niacin, some choline, all types of good stuff.
B vitamins.
Yeah. I used to drink, right, like back in the day when I lived in Foxy's house. I used to, like, if we'd get home and have a 7 o'clock dinner reservation or 7:30, I'd go downstairs for a half hour and drink while I was working out.
Which is, it seems counterintuitive.
I was fucking pinched for time, Tarm.
Multitasking. It's not counterintuitive. It's fucking multitasking.
There you go.
Okay.
Do you hear that?
Have you ever taken a beer with you on a walk for a mile?
Never.
No, hold on. Have you ever cooked and had wine at the same time?
Yes.
Boom, done.
That's multitasking.
No, it's multitasking.
I'm taking a shit and drank a full scotch in there.
Have you really?
Yeah.
You take your scotch in the bathroom?
Who doesn't?
That seems dirty.
That seems weird.
Shit would be flying in the air.
Aren't there shit particles?
Yeah. Wait
a second. Only when you flush.
Listen, I don't live at a truck stop. I mean, my
you don't? I don't know.
No, Tommy.
Because I look like this doesn't mean I shit all over my walls.
Tommy, if you see the videos of the flushers, even if you got a regular circular flush bowl that just kind of takes forever to go down, or the super duper airplane flushers that want to suck your balls in with it, you'll notice even with the top down, there's some blowback coming out of there. They've got video, black light footage of they take them both with the top off, it's still blowing through there.
Okay,
like
but
a volcano erupting.
Johnny,
and with the top down, it's still blowing out the sides and coming out because of the gaps that you got between the seat, the bottom, and everything.
Do you close the toilet every time you flush?
No. Never. I never. But I'm saying even if you close the toilet, some argue, I put the top down. No. Doesn't matter.
Do you
still got blowback coming out of the sides.
Do you guys in your own home give yourselves a courtesy flush?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I do too.
While you're shitting?
No, when you shit, you flush, then you wipe.
If it's bad enough.
Oh, no, you so you don't do that?
Mine depends upon the girth of what I put in there.
Really?
Yeah. No, I don't want to overload the toilet.
I courtesy flush every time.
You flush your shit, then you wipe, then you flush again?
Yes. I'm not an animal. Yes.
He doesn't want to hit a turd on the way in.
It's fucking, you know.
I don't. And by the way, Johnny, I sit in my fucking throne and there's the sink is there. So I put my drink up there within arm's reach.
Well, you got to have it within arm's reach, especially if it's a long one.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just tedious.
I don't have it sitting next to the toilet on the ground.
I got you.
I love it. Bring scotch into a fucking bathroom.
All I'm saying is sometimes you're on the toilet for a little longer than you want to be. Yeah, I've been on the toilet where my legs have fallen asleep.
Really? I was on the toilet this morning for 20 minutes.
Legs fell
asleep. What are you doing?
Were you actually working? Like, I mean, like, sometimes, were you eating for 20 minutes?
I'm looking at the phone. I'm going through some stories, just taking a look at 1, 2, 3. Well,
you know, when I say working, you're
kid, I'm crapping. I'm sitting, you know.
So you're relaxing. You're not shitting for 20 minutes.
No.
Nobody shits for 20 minutes.
Yeah, straight, but how so is
what
it?
The fuck's wrong with you? But sometimes you got like a good push, and then you got a little gap until the next. You know, the next train appears.
20, maybe two. I would say 15. I was
a little gap in there
today. 15 minutes.
Then all of a sudden, the next train comes to the station, and I got to dump it.
I find sitting on the toilet uncomfortable, though. Like, I would never just go to sit. You know, oh, I'll read my phone and I'll sit here for 15 minutes. And if I take a dump, I take a dump.
I'm like the lazy boy instead, Carm.
Like, yeah, I'm on my couch. Yeah. Like, that's weird. I don't know. I would never think to go sit on the toilet.
Well, Carm, I don't get out of my bed. I got up. My daughter was here and she got up early. She had to go somewhere. So I was up at 6. I didn't like get up and say, hey, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend the next 15 minutes on the toilet. I got up, went to the toilet and then started reading an email and had to respond to 2 emails. Said before you know it, I was sitting there for 15 minutes. That was it. Wasn't a destination. It was just kind of, it happened.
This sort of happened. I don't know.
The best was when Yurko was eating a sandwich at work on a
toilet. Yeah. And you can give me shit about taking a shit and having a drink at the same time, and yet you're fucking shoving a hoagie down your throat while you're taking a dump.
That's disgusting.
I'm not giving anybody
giving you crap. I was
is letting you know what some of the scientific evidence is. I've seen some of these videos where it is. I just want to let you guys know what's really happening with the commode when you flush. That's all. I don't judge Tommy drinking. I have coffee. My phone's there in my hand.
I've never brought anything into
I won't lie to you. I've taken a dump and been jerking it at the same fucking
time.
That's
disgusting.
I mean, it's just me. I find my motivation where I find it. Guys.
That's disgusting. Whoa. No, you did not. You did not.
I mean, it's not a daily occurrence, but once over the course of a lifetime, I'm sure my pickle was in my hand.
Nah, that's disgusting.
Boy, that take, like, you got to be careful, man. I mean,
well, you just got to be motivated. You know, the breeze just got to come through just right. And next thing you know, little Johnny.
You better keep it above board. You better.
Oh, yeah. Reverse grip. Then the courtesy flush might even happen, you know?
That could be the most disgusting thing ever said on Unhinged.
Yeah.
I'm being honest. I guess we don't want honesty here.
Yeah, we do. We do want honesty.
We're all prudes. You've never touched yourself.
We're just saying that's gross. Not on the toilet.
No.
Some people have sex in the airplane, you know?
They
do it in the airplane. I mean, what do you want me to do?
That's gross, too, to be honest.
You know what you're simulating? You're simulating the Blumkin.
I have
it's a Blumkin. Well, it is. He's getting a Blumkin. He's doing a Blumkin to himself.
Simulating a Blumkin. The Blumkin is getting a blowjob while you're taking a dump.
Which is gross.
And then what do you?
Well, I'd really the person would have to have their head examined.
Yeah,
the one that was given.
Wait a minute,
the giver in this situation, not the receiver.
The giver,
the giver's got the real issue.
That sounds like something you'd have to pay for.
The giver definitely.
And notice how I was gender neutral there because you know I'm a kinder, gentler man in 2020.
Yes, exactly. The giver, good job, York. The giver does have to have his or her head examined if that is ever the case.
Absolutely.
And another thing, sex on an airplane in the bathroom is kind of gross. I'm a germaphobe, so maybe for me, like people are like, what are you talking about? It's awesome, Mile High Club. I have zero desire to have sex in a fucking bathroom on an airplane.
What's next on your list? A dumpster? You want to go do it in a dumpster?
No. Wait a minute.
It's disgusting.
First of all, I'm too big to fit in the bathroom the way it is. The first thing I do to the airport is make sure that Johnny is the bowels have been cleansed. I might even take a diuretic before or something that'll make sure I go clean out the system. If I'm on an airplane, there's no airplane that I can fit in comfortably. No. And when I wipe, there's no way I'm getting everything when I wipe either. All right.
I don't understand.
I'm left down there with a big old marathon bar. That's no good. I got $100,000 bar down there. No, $100,000
bars for me. Stop it. I can't imagine why anybody would have sex in any bathroom is disgusting, let alone in an airplane.
Shower guy. I'm more of a shower guy.
A shower.
No,
in
the
bathroom.
Shower, you got
all
water. Right. You're all being cleansed.
That's what happened. Yeah, I'm in the Mile High Club. I'm a pro.
Congratulations, Sylvie.
Gross. Yes.
Nice job. Where'd you guys go? Where'd you go? Was it on the way down or on the way back?
It was on the way to the San Francisco Bears game. Nice. The one that Terrell Owens caught 20 passes.
Oh, that's 03 or 04.
Before that.
Oh, that's pre-Allen.
That was 2000?
Way before Allen.
2000.
I just said pre-Allen.
That's way before
Allen. Pre-Allen. 2000, December 2000.
Your idea or her idea?
Well, so it was a new relationship. We booked it on a whim. I was going as a reporter. We booked her on a whim. New relationship. We were sitting last row of coach. And we had the blanket. This is when they were handing out blankets back in coach back in the day. When they were treating you like people. And so we had the blankets over our laps. And she was playing around with me. Like underneath the blanket. Yeah.
Top of the old bishop.
So, like, Yerk, what do you do? Like, the mood's striking now all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're like, you go to the bathroom, and was
she as diminutive as you were?
She was taller. She was
taller, but thin.
Yes.
You could pull it off then.
I thought you met her. You had met her.
I don't know.
Where did you?
Let's not indict the innocence.
No names. No names.
Where did you finish?
Oh, you know where he finished.
In the bathroom.
Inside of me.
Where did you finish?
Inside of you. Inside of you.
She was on the pill.
You finished inside, huh?
In the cockpit. They just, you know, was special.
Did she have a DUI?
First of all, it was a
An intrauterine device.
A DUI? No.
Even finish inside.
A DUI.
So she went on top of the toilet, you know, propped yourself up. Gross.
Did you?
On the toilet. Of a fucking airplane.
Did you hit her from behind, or did she have a leg up over your shoulder?
No, like this. She was like,
Sylvie. Standing. Awesome, man. Make that happen. Be careful. You'll be getting some
Eric,
stuff.
Put this on the YouTube channel.
That's what, do this one.
Make a video out of Sylvie.
Just make sure
comfortable with me.
And here's the way you do it, guys. Here's my self help. She went into the bathroom, locked the door, and then I knocked on the door.
Secret knock or just a regular knock?
Make it look like I was just entering the bathroom, and then she unlocked it, and I walked in like I was going to the bathroom.
Was she already naked at that point?
No.
There was no stewardess in the back of the plane or anything?
They were servicing people. How did the departure happen? Now, this is where you can get caught, the departure. How did the departure
happen? Had the plan. We did not get caught. And we had the plan where if somebody had said something that she was ill and I was in the bathroom.
Checking her oil.
She was very sick.
Fucking her. They're going to buy that one.
Yeah. She's checking her oil.
I had to go into the bathroom and give it to her.
I mean, give me a break.
She's got estrogen flowing out of her skin and you know, all the chemicals that release once you have, I would assume, satisfactory sex, Sylvie, on her part. So you know how she comes with the pheromones and they're all out there. She got the light lather on the skin from
It was 30 seconds.
27 seconds of excitement.
30 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You'd be all juiced up. Yeah. That's going to go quick, right?
Well, there was one satisfied party.
Yeah. Yeah, she might have been satisfied. You don't know.
It really is my crowning achievement. Forget the kids.
Forget the successful afternoon drive talk show and the kids.
Yeah, poor Buck and Bronco.
The crowning achievement is fucking in an airplane bathroom on the way to San Francisco. See the Bears get destroyed by the 49ers.
30 seconds.
I'm catching hepatitis because it's so dirty in there, right?
I don't know. It's never been appealing to me.
Was that the Jerry Rice got shut out game?
Yes.
Cade McCown got in and didn't know the offense, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. That was the same game, wasn't it?
I think
The Bears never crossed midfield, right?
Oof.
Oh, God.
Brutal.
We used to work with Cade McCown. Boy, he was something else.
Yeah, he's a piece of work, right?
I mean, like Rex was a friendly guy. You can say whatever you want about him as a quarterback. He was a good dude. Cade McNown was just a pain in the ass.
He was a jag.
Yeah.
He was a jag coming out of UCLA.
He should have known when he was using handicap stickers to park in a handicap
parking spot.
Right. We hear he has reformed his behavior and he's a much better guy now than he was back in
good.
The day. To deal with him when he was with
well, you grow up. You grow up. Maybe yeah, maturity does mature. For an individual.
I heard you guys having that conversation yesterday about whether or not you can mature as a young player in the league.
Yeah, like, first of all, well, we played the Field Yates sound that you guys from the other day that when you guys had him on. But just talking, I don't know where. I guess I know where it's coming from, and it's just the world in which we live. But like how everybody just sort of assumes Caleb's got some sort of, you know, there are some issues with his behavior, his demeanor, maturity. His attitude, his maturity. Doesn't appear to be the case. But then I was asking York, even if like you don't like the fingernail thing, right? Okay, but like when you get into the league and you realize you're playing with grown men and you grow up a little, like. Do certain habits maybe change? Does your perspective change? Do you get more mature? And that's what I was asking.
This is the way it worked for me in college. I go there as a freshman. I hit Calvin Pierce. Calvin Pierce, in no uncertain terms, let me know that he was not a person that was going to be hit by me. And so, okay, well, there's one parameter. Calvin Pierce doesn't like to be hit. He's a kid out of Robbins. Hell of a player. He's one of our tweener tight ends that we had. You got into the league. Similar things happen. Hey, slow down. Hey, quit being a deal. Don't worry about it. If you can play, you'll be all right. They slow you down right away. But there's also, so you understand the parameters, but then there's a maturity. Tom is in 1989 was a different, in 92, he's a different player than he was in 89.
Yeah.
He knows more. He's more knowledgeable. He gets an understanding. He gets to see what's done wrong and incorrectly and how it's dealt with. And then you just kind of get shaped a little bit as you start moving along. So I think that happens with any player that ends up in the league. Same way at your first job, 3-4 years later, you were much more comfortable where you were. You understand what could and could not be done, that kind of thing.
That's true.
Second practice,
happens everywhere.
Second practice, my rookie year in Platteville. I'm the 13th guy on the fucking the depth chart at wide receiver. And we were in a meeting. It was like 10 and 9. And we're going through the film and we watch everything and not saying a word. At the end of film session, my coach says, okay, any other questions? So I ask him a question. It was a pertinent question about, you know, how you run a route with a guy shaded a certain way, whatever it was. And then he gave the answer and, you know, some veterans are looking at me. And then I kind of followed up. I had a follow-up question. And before I could finish the question, Dennis McKinnon looked back to me and said, shut the fuck up, Rook. You ain't going to be here next week anyway. That's the last time I talked as a rookie inside the meeting room.
Well, then he figured out that just go ask the coach about what I want.
Exactly.
Let everybody leave and then go talk to him.
Yes, exactly.
That is fabulous.
Yeah.
You learn it quick.
I didn't ask another question the entire 5 weeks.
You're not going to be here next week anyway. That's pretty great.
My second year in the league, I was up in Green Bay. And I came up there and I said, listen, fuck this. You got to be who you are. And I was a big talker. I always talked, communicated on the defensive line. I communicated what I saw. If I saw something, I'd fucking yell it down. Guys didn't light. Tiger Green goes to me. We would go play golf, right? Tiger Green was the defensive back. Play with Mark Lee, Tiger Green, a couple other guys, Brian Kinchin and Chuck Cecil. We're out Brown County playing a little bit of golf. Tiger goes, how many years you been in the league? I go, second. This is my second year. He goes, fuck. He goes, you act like you've been in the league 6 fucking years.
That's a good thing?
It is.
That is a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to talk. I'm not afraid to communicate. Doesn't make a difference if I'm wrong. I learned from my mistake. Boom. That's it. I didn't give a shit. Listen, if you're going to go down in flames doing it the way you think is right.
Go down swinging.
That's it. So if I was going to never play in the NFL again, it was going to fucking, I'm going out my way. And I still cut me. Good and they you. Only kept 5 fucking defensive linemen that year, Tommy.
That is a big
5. How the fuck do you keep 5 defensive linemen?
You, obviously, you think you're going to poach somebody off the fucking waiver wire.
Nice. Nobody. Bryce Pop and Bennett came off the corner. So there were our 6th and 7th like rushers. They were like linebackers converted into D linemen once we got to nickel and dime. So old Johnny got the, you know, I screwed the pooch on that one. But ultimately it worked out. One guy got hurt. I got activated. And the rest, as they say, is history. Now I find myself here on some cheesy fucking lounge chair doing this show.
With our feet up.
Yeah.
Talking about
Mile High Club on his way to San Francisco. Love it.
Yes.
Sylvie's the only one in the group.
Yeah.
The Mile High Club.
I can't.
I have no desire.
I can't fit.
I barely fit in there. I'm a small guy.
Yeah.
You can't fit in those.
I guess when we were on Aer Lingus, remember, we went over to Ireland. Mm-hmm. On Aer Lingus, I think those bathrooms were a little bit bigger.
I think the ones like Air Dubai, the Emirate airline, where they had showers in them.
Well, that's because those are built
right
for them, though. They probably already have beds in there, too. You know?
But those are special. Those are specially built. I wouldn't think Aer Lingus has any bigger bathrooms. Aer Lingus is a good airline, by the way.
Well, I mean, we're in business class, and we had the sleepers. I had my individual cube with a sleeper. I'm assuming when I was in there, up there, I could have walked up front. It would have been fine.
Which floor? When?
Was that Aer Lingus, or was that when I went over for Germany?
That was when you went for Germany.
I went over for Fox when I went to Germany to do some stuff. One. Yeah. I had one of them. It was beautiful.
Johnny, somebody sent something. Was it on social media or whatever it was? You were doing
arena football
with Jill Arrington and
Eli Gold. Eli Gold. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a good group. We had a good group.
God, Jill Arrington, I haven't heard that name in forever.
Yeah, she's out in Los Angeles. Yeah, she's still out in Los Angeles.
Jill and Johnny both looked very one was handsome and one was very pretty.
Well, I went out with, we were in Tampa doing the Tampa Bay Predators. Orlando Predators against the Tampa Bay Storm. And we're down there, we're doing the game in Orlando. And we go out to a little Mexican joint that everybody loves. Mexican bar, Mexican joint. The girl behind the bar was wearing a t-shirt. It was already cut on the side. It had to be double taped. You know how you got the double side taped? Her tits were outstanding. And Jill's sitting in the middle, right? So it's me on the right, Rinker on the left, and Jill's in the middle. And we're sitting there, and we're going to eat Mexican food. And we're going back and forth. We're ordering margaritas frozen or the regular over the rocks. No, what we're thinking, I wasn't saying anything. I was married at the time. No.
I think you're going to do anything, but it's your jovial self.
My natural jovial self would usually say something in this situation, except a lady, a work colleague was present, and Rinker was over to the left of me. So I caught Rinker, staring a little bit, and I'm staring. And I, kind of leaned back a little bit behind Jill. I looked at him. I said, Jesus, Yena Kahana, look at the size of her cans, right? But not loud, just kind of mouthing it. But that's what we meant. And then as the chips, the drinks, and the guac and the salsa's coming out, Jill Arrington goes up and goes, hey, guys. He goes, is it just me or does she have the most gorgeous set of tits you've ever seen? Awesome. And me and Rinker broke out laughing. He goes, thank God you said it.
That's awesome.
You bet your sweet ass we were thinking it. So, yeah, she was great. She was fantastic. She, she was establishing herself in media at the time. And she was working with Eli Gold, who does Alabama football, an absolute professional.
Johnny, you had the double-breasted suit. You had the double-breasted suit.
Back then. Yeah, it was looking good.
Well, I hope that style never comes back.
I still had the NFL stuff going on, man. It still fit. Everything was perfect.
Your travel gear.
I was still rolling with it. It was 2000. So it was literally like a year after I was out of the league. I started doing it. What happened? Sam Weish. Mm-hmm. Sam Weish's voice went to crap. Mm. He had surgery. They nicked something, and his voice had changed. And in a pinch, they needed somebody. And super agent Brian Harlan got me an interview. Then in Chicago, up at their headquarters at Arena Football, I sat and learned the game because different rules. You've got to know it. You got to be a master of it. I sat for about 2-3 days watching film, learning the game. And it actually paid pretty decent.
I bet.
Pretty decent money to do it for TNN. And I met Jack Youngblood because he was a guy that was part of the league. David Baker. Met him. Giant. I met his body first, and his head was in the next room. Then I went over and said hello to his melon. But, he had a big head.
I know he did. But
he's not with the Hall anymore, is he?
No. That's why I think we had the weird year we had this year. And he did. He left the Arena Football League, and he started working for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So. He's a good guy. He was great. The whole group was fantastic. All them guys from the Chicago Rush, Mike Hohensee and Mike Elzamora and all them guys, they were great. The players were great. We had a ball. We were on the road. It was in Vegas with those guys. I mean, we had a good time. It wasn't bad. I mean, my kids were young, so they weren't doing anything yet, so it was possible.
I always tell the story of when I subbed – And it always comes from my perspective when we were doing the home game and the camera guy had the seizure and you, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing as a play-by-play guy of an arena game. I'm filling in for Tom Dorr for two games, one game on the road in Vegas, like you said, and then this home game where at the Allstate Arena, this guy, Carm, goes down. He's doing the cameras, and he goes down, and he's on the floor, and he's shaking. And my color guy springs into action during the game. You go, Yerk. What'd you do?
I don't know. I tried to save his life, I think. I didn't know what happened.
You grabbed his tongue. Don't you remember? Didn't you grab his tongue and save his life?
There's this first guy. There's another individual that got there first. He went into his mouth and grabbed his tongue.
Okay.
I was there trying to kind of stabilize him and solidify him. But yeah,
point, Johnny, did you
say that's the process of what happened? But I was the second guy in the scene. Somebody had gotten, and it was you know who was there? Mike Breen, because the New York Knights were the game.
Really?
Mike Breen was doing the game. 100% correct. That's why anytime I see Mike Breen, I always say hello, and we hearken back to our days of arena football.
How often
the New York Dragons, not the Knights, the New York Dragons.
That sounds right.
Oh, I'd see Breen. It was probably once every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And it was probably at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Where I'd bump into him, that kind of thing. We may have seen him basketball wise too.
We haven't been anywhere on the road with the Bulls in a decade.
I haven't seen him in a long time. This was 2000. So we're talking 24 years now. 24 years ago.
Because you're not wearing the same suit.
Miami, I still have that suit.
I knew it, Carm.
Miami and the Bulls. I think Breen was down there as part of Indiana basketball or something that. So we saw him down there, too.
10 years ago. That's more than 10 years
ago. It's 2012, I think, Carm.
That's 2011.
2011. There you go.
Crazy. Yeah. It's a long ass time.
13 years. Carmen and I had just started with Harry. God, I remember poor Brian Windhorst trying to get up them stairs. Ooh, I'm telling you. I thought I was on top of K2, you know, and I was praying to the Lord he made it, you know. And he did, though. He did make it. And we asked Scotty.
You had to come to the rescue of a couple of people, haven't you?
Hey, we had Scotty Pippen we asked to come up, remember?
Yes. Well, no, Danny said.
Scotty's not coming up.
No, he came on, but he wouldn't come up to the.
Definitely came on.
Press box.
Right. We were halfway up.
Yeah, we were not even in the press box.
Miami or the Pacers?
It was the Pacers series.
We were in the Pacers.
They had built an auxiliary press box for the playoffs. And where Chuck and Bill were going to be doing the game from, we were doing the show
before their the game.
Danny was down. Pip was sitting on the floor, and Danny said, "I'm going to go down and see if Scotty will come on real quick." And so we're up doing the show. We're watching Danny. We're watching Scotty. And Danny told us later, and Scotty came on, but Danny told us later that he went down there. He asked Scotty. He said, "Yeah." He said, "The guys are right up." You know, right up there, you want to walk over. And Scotty goes, "I don't give a fuck where they are. I'll do it from right here."
And he put a headset on from the table and, you know, and did it from there.
Yeah, because he was down like next to the bench at the scorer's table.
At least he did it. Yeah,
he did it.
He did do it. I mean, we're thankful. Nice job on his part.
I don't care where the fuck they are. I'll do it.
Why aren't we talking about the elephant in the room?
What's the elephant? Well,
your guy Devin Hester got in, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Saving that for regular guy.
Elephant in the room?
What'd you guys celebrate for 5 seconds? Well, the elephant in the room is McMichael got it.
I don't think elephant in the room is a bad thing.
No. The elephant in the room is the obvious thing that should be talked about.
Are you going?
In the room. It doesn't necessarily have a negative connotation, an elephant in the room.
Okay.
It just means it's the thing that should be talked about.
Okay.
Well, if we all think that the Bears are going to be in Canton for the Hall of Fame game, and they make it 5 preseason games. Or what? Four.
Four preseason games.
It'll be four.
They'd get 4 preseason games. Will you guys go?
Of course.
Usually
I don't have much of a choice. If Danny says we're going, then we're going.
Of course. We should all be there. It's 3 more Bears.
Unless, of course, I accidentally take a vacation on that weekend.
I'll be there. If we do a bus trip, I'll be there. I wouldn't miss
it. You'll be there.
He'll be there too. It's a celebration.
Well, listen, you know what? I mean, look, I think
Well, I didn't say anything negative yet. I mean, I don't know what the hell you guys' problem
is. I was just going to say, obviously, we all feel the same about Mongo. Mongo should have gone in years ago instead of having to wait for Veterans Committee. This is silly. There's only two guys that are, you know, I think Aaron Donald crossed that 100-sack mark. But prior to that, I think it's Warren Sapp and John Randall, the only two other defensive tackles, full-time defensive tackles that have more sacks than Steve. So it's a travesty that he didn't get in earlier. I had forgotten, maybe it's just because I'm fucking dumb, but I had forgotten just how dominant Pep was.
Oh, yeah.
Julius Peppers.
Yeah.
159 and a half sacks, which ranks him fourth in NFL history.
Right. Yeah. He's like, pretty awesome.
He only played
2 years with the Bears. His first 2 years with the Bears were terrific.
Who's number five on that list of sacks?
Kevin Green.
I think it is Kevin Green. Kevin Green waited 15 years to get in the Hall of Fame.
Which was kind of ridiculous.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
You know, people with legitimate gripes about getting into the Hall of Fame, them are the guys that you want to listen to.
Who is the better Bear?
Actually, Johnny, Kevin Green's number three. Chris Dolman's number four.
Yeah. Dolman's four.
I mean, sorry, Chris Dolman's number five because Pep's four.
Got it.
Yeah. How long did Kevin Green have to wait? Oh, well, he's not of this. He's not of that. That's the crap you heard out of that room.
Yeah, he waited a long time.
So, I mean, listen, sometimes people have to wait unduly for the craziest reasons of all. But now that the door to the Pro Football Hall of Fame is open to anyone, object. You'll never hear me object to anybody. When they come up with that group of 25, they're all Hall of Famers.
Robbie Gould's next.
And fine. If Devin's in, Robbie can go in. Doesn't matter to me.
Who had the better Bears career? Khalil Mack.
Patrick Manley.
Peppers.
Peppers.
Patrick Manley. I think
Peppers. Although Mack's first year was pretty fucking awesome.
Julius Peppers' career was better than Khalil Mack.
No, he said it's a
Bear.
Yeah, it's a Bear.
Bear's career.
I think Julius Peppers.
I think
Julius
probably Peppers. Pep.
Yeah.
Max first year.
We gotta lose look Waddle? It up.
What happened? Did we lose Waddle?
We lost.
I think Waddle left. Yeah, I think his internet froze.
We'll get him back.
He's got bad connectivity.
I think it's Pep. Yeah, but that first Mac year was fucking. He was great in 2018. But I think Peppers.
Yeah, Peppers.
Did they play for about the same amount of time?
Oh no,
4 years. Pep had 4 years here. Was it Mac here for Mac was here 18, 19, 20, 21? Right. They both played 4 years.
That's why I thought it was an interesting question.
It is good.
Man, I think Peppers had the better career, though.
I think he did, too.
The better career in Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've got nothing from Tommy. Well, that's fine.
Better career overall at this point, too. Pep was awesome.
I'll tell you this, though. There's a couple things that I went and I studied, and there's two defensive linemen that I think have been overlooked. You know, anytime they told me.
Jumpy Gethers.
No, not Jumpy Gethers. This guy is a great pass rusher, probably the most dangerous pass rusher of all time from the interior. Jumpy Gethers. And I'd show you the videos to let you know why. In the NFC Championship game when he was with Washington against Randall McDaniel, I've never seen anybody pick up Randall McDaniel and walk him back to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Randall, meet your quarterback. He's right here. Why? Because I'm taking you to him. And I think it was Randall Cunningham at the time, if it wasn't Warren Moon. So it was one of the two. But he was great. But Henry Thomas.
Ah, yes.
93 and a half career sacks for Henry Thomas. Played next to John Randall. The argument that you can't have multiple players from the same defensive line in the Hall of Fame is null and void because the Bears now have three players from the 85 defensive line that are in there. Henry Thomas was a dangerous, dangerous
player. But he did play with, didn't he play with Dolman and Randall?
He played, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but it's why I'm telling you that if three can go in from the 85 Bears, you can have three from anywhere.
Okay.
Leroy Glover.
Yeah, Leroy Glover was good.
Leroy Glover played for the New Orleans Saints, was a defensive interior lineman, truly a nose tackle that maybe shifted when they switched coordinators into an over-under. Had 17 and a half sacks, finished with 80-plus.
He was good.
Sacks. So my, you know, again, Sterling Sharp, I think, belongs in the Hall of Fame. That's easy, but and not even complicated. But there are now Freeney, the Dwight Freeney got in. Freeney now brings the bar down to a lot of guys that are stuck at like 132, 136 sacks that are there and haven't been considered for the Hall of Fame. They get in this year. What in the world is going on
over there? I'm ruining this.
All right, I think it's time. I think it's time to wrap it.
What is he doing?
All right, what are we hard for? Brought to you by Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. Get a month's supply free by using the promo code Unhinged.
I'm hard to get drunk during the Super Bowl, right? I mean,
amen, Toby.
I think we're all hard for the Super Bowl.
We're all hard for the Super Bowl. Easy peasy.
These bets, like, what's your power rankings? Like, this is a good conversation. Why don't we do this during regular crosstalk today? Power rank. Waddle, this is homework assignment for regular crosstalk.
Oh, yeah, like he cares.
Power rank Super Bowl fun, whether it's drinks, bets, food, game, halftime. All right? Like, all those things, put those in order of your Super Bowl day.
We'll do it during crosstalk. Sex in the bathroom. Is that on the list or no?
No,
that's not on the list. Okay.
Maybe it's your house, but not in an airplane.
At your house, yeah. All right, we'll rank
off while you're taking a shit during the Super Bowl.
Boy, that's
that'd be on the list.
Euphoric for your coach.
That'd be on the list.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Oh, wow, what am I hard for?
We just said, didn't we say?
You said the Super Bowl.
What are you hard for?
Live Golf, baby. Las Vegas Country Club. That's right. John Rahm is there with you. Vegas. Live Golf.
I'm shocked that they're in Vegas the weekend of the Super Bowl.
That's weird. Or did they do that on purpose to, like, try and make it a big party?
Is it the TPC event in Scottsdale going on too?
It is, yes.
The Bird's Nest? Isn't that what it is?
What is the Waste Management Open?
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? We good?
Anybody else hard?
See you next week on another rip-roaring edition of Crosstalk Unhinged. BlueChew.com. Get that month's supply free by using the promo code Unhinged at checkout. Why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy?